Leading off with the big story of the day, here's The Drive with Zach Bye and Denver, Colorado's own Philip Lindsay.
Who win it now?
Oh, 1 hour in the books, lickety split. On a Thursday. You smell that weekend.
Oh, yeah. You know, every time you say lickety split, have you ever seen 8 Mile?
Of course I have.
What is that? Lickety, lickety split, spickety, spickety.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Every time you say that, I just think of 8 Mile. I'm going to walk my back to 8 Mile.
Well, we have so much to get to today, sincerely. And I want to circle back to a couple things. And we got the games, NCAA tournament tonight. Yeah. Rockies opening day. I want to talk about that here for a couple minutes in just a moment. But speaking of the tournament, if your bracket is busted, no worries. Sport Clips presents the Denver Sports Second Chance Bracket. Head to denversports.com/hoops for your chance to win $100? No, $1,000. And a pair of tickets to every concert and PRCA rodeo event at the Daddy of 'em All in Cheyenne. Holy moly. That is a incredible package for the winner. All right. That's denversports.com/hoops. Entry ends before the first game later today. So if you've not filled out a second chance bracket, go do that at denversports.com/hoops. Okay. Plenty to get to today. I want to circle back to the Nuggets game last night.
Yeah.
It was a game against a rival. It was a game against a team who just came into your house and beat you without their second best player earlier in the month. It was a national televised game, and Denver, just as well as they have played out of the All-Star break, they did not have the requisite competitive spirit to be up for 12 rounds of fighting against a team who really was looking forward to a fist fight last night. That was a hungry, desperate Phoenix team coming off one of their worst losses of the season. They're hanging on. Like, they need to get up to that sixth seed. Right now, they're a half game back of it. And when you get up there, you're out of the play-in tournament. So they need to win, and they got like 9 games left against all playoff teams. So Every game is like a playoff team for Phoenix right now. And Denver did not look like they treated it like a playoff game last night.
And you said it yesterday, Zach. You said it's never good when a team is coming off a loss, especially a team that's a playoff caliber team that knows that they have to win.
Yeah.
Because now you need to buy, invest in some stock because it may skyrocket. We always do that with the Denver Nuggets. That's kind of how I felt about them yesterday, and that's why I kind of was on the ropes of saying I didn't feel good about this game.
Yeah,
going
you did not.
This.
You
no,
did
I,
not.
I just didn't. I just, like, for some reason, Durant did well last game against us. Durant did well this game against us. Any given night, when you have somebody like Durant, I think we tend to forget how good he is and that he is a Hall of Famer. Okay, you got Booker sitting right there that at times, if he can get hot, like he did in the playoffs last year where one game where he went for 40.
Yeah, no, it's like he went for, it was more, I forget offhand. He had 2 straight games where he literally shot like 80%.
You got to be scared of somebody like that. You know, and then Bradley Beal, he was hot at the beginning of the game. He got hot. So when you're in a game like that, you have to bring, everybody has to be involved. Everybody has to be invested in the game and ready to play, ready to win. And you thought, and I thought that Denver was going to come out ready to fight, and they had their hands down.
Yeah, they did, and they got punched in the face. And then they proceeded to get punched over and over.
Mm.
And it was a 47-point game last year in the playoffs from Booker.
47.
And this is the part that's, like, a little bit concerning, is because they were already on your radar. They've been on your radar for years. They're a bit of a rival, Phoenix and Denver, here in the last couple of years. They came into your house and beat you without Booker. The game's on national TV, so there's a little bit of a little bit more juice there. But they came in and won. And we talk about the firepower of Phoenix. Phil, Devin Booker and Bradley Beal combined to shoot 8 of 28.
Mm.
8 of 28. But what's not getting talked about, I don't think, enough from the game is just how well defensively Phoenix played.
Yeah.
To hold this team under 100 points, and I understand Jamal wasn't there, and I don't care, to be held to 97 points in your own building It wasn't just missing shots, although that played a big part in it. You shoot 10 for 40 from three. I mean, that's disgusting.
They shot too much.
I'm glad you just said that because they did. They did shoot too much. That's not who Denver is, shooting 40 threes in a game. That was embarrassing. That's not who they are. But Phoenix kind of set a trap for them. And I'll just explain it really quick from what I saw. Phoenix, everyone, they'll call it like shrinking the court, where everyone that's playing on the perimeter will sink in, and everything gets a little bit clogged. And you think of who the Nuggets are and how they want to play. They got guys slashing and diving through the lane, and Jokic is breaking off guys with passes for layups. But when you play like that, what you do is you invite them to take threes.
You force their hand.
In order to shrink that court and clog that lane. So you, if you go back and look at the shots that they took, if I were to just like do like splice them all up and show them to basketball people, say, hey, is this a good shot? And you just look at it like isolated by a possession, you're like, yes. Mm. They're open threes. But that's what Phoenix wanted them to do. It's like bait them into taking those threes, and Denver just missed a ton of shots. But Phoenix kind of set that trap for them, because what it turns into is Jokic getting the ball and a lot of dudes standing around and waiting to shoot an open shot, and when they got them, they missed them.
And on top of that, to go with what you said, they shrunk the court, and also they were double-teaming Jokic in the paint.
They were double-teaming Jokic
to have him kick that ball out to someone like MPJ, and we all know if MPJ ain't on, he ain't on. And it's just like sitting there just pulling teeth to try to get him to get on fire. Now, if he's on fire, you know,
look out.
Yeah, now you're going to have to come out of that. But we don't have enough three shooters to kind of make it a dangerous job for the Suns to have to come back out of that. Start guarding us.
Exactly. You would need to make shots, and then they're like, okay, we have to come up.
Prove it.
And then what happens then? You get a whole bunch of space created in the teeth of the defense, in that painted area. It's amazing how often, and this is not just a Nuggets thing, this is basketball. Hear my coach in my head, Brian Beery, back in New York, get 2 feet in the paint with the ball. It's amazing how often good stuff happens when you simply get 2 feet in the paint with the basketball because you're in the teeth of the defense. And now everyone's looking at you, and whether it's you creating for yourself or snapping it out to the perimeter, getting open shots. But this is why this is interesting last night too, because you're missing Jamal, who is your best creator off the dribble.
Yeah.
So they're playing a style of basketball that typically Jamal could, you know, work his way through and knife his way through, but you lose that creation with him not being out there, and it's like there's no one.
And another potent shooter.
Yes,
somebody that can light it up on the three,
definitely.
And now you have to kind of come out of it. But what I've seen, you brought this up, and I'm surprised you didn't bring it up right now, and shame on you for not, is the trenches, right? They got out-rebounded again. They did not do a good job of rebounding the ball offensively or defensively. And you're not going to win games if you can't get the ball. If you can't get those second chances, you're not going to win games, especially versus a talented team that loves the mid-range and can shoot well.
Yeah, and Michael Malone talked about this after the game.
The offensive rebounding has been by far our Achilles heel since the All-Star break. I think we're 29th in second chance points allowed. And against that team, they don't miss very often. So when they do miss, you have to secure the rebound to give yourself a chance on the other end.
And the Nuggets were out-rebounded by 13 boards against the Suns last night on ESPN. That's the Nuggets have been out-rebounded by 10 or more rebounds 5 times this year. Their record, 1-4 in those 5 games. So you add this all up, it's like, no wonder they lost. No wonder they lost. What's the text line say, or the RamosLaw.com text line saying, Kamaje?
Well, Zach, they're asking you the exact question. Why didn't DeAndre Jordan play?
You know, I just don't think it's a good question, because did you see how small they were going and playing Payton Watson at the five?
That was their game plan. For some reason, they went into it. I think Malone talked about it, saying that if Nurkic does not play, we're going to go out with a smaller core.
Yeah.
And maybe they're just trying to find a rotation, Zach, but it's, I don't know why.
That's probably the last time that you see that.
Okay.
DeAndre Jordan probably should have played last night. It was a night for him to play. Doesn't play a lot. Last night would have made some sense. But you know what it tells me also? It's like, that was a game Michael Malone really wanted to win. He put Jokic back in the game in the fourth quarter with like 9-something left. They were going to try to win that game.
Yeah.
they still don't have their rotations figured out. Mm. They do not have, they're experimenting in the last 10 games of the season when you're fighting for the number one seed.
See, that's not good.
It's not.
That's not good.
And it's not from a lack of we're just trying to get the right combinations. They don't have consistent players as reserves. And you mentioned Bruce Brown. Brown ain't walking through that door.
Oh, he ain't.
Who would be the most consistent player off the bench?
Christian Brown. Is that?
Probably Christian Brown, right? How did he look last night?
Yeah.
That was awful.
To be honest with you, when I was watching that young man, it was like he was hesitant to making shots. He was always trying to get it out of the paint, kind of regroup like a point guard would do. But it just seemed like he was just hesitant, man. It seemed like he didn't want to be aggressive like he has in the last two games.
Yeah, his last two games were so fun to watch. He was, awesome. It was the best two-game combination of his season, and we're talking about Christian Brown. But that's the perfect encapsulation of where we're at with this group. I asked you who the most consistent guy is. You say Christian Brown. He's coming off his two best games of the year, and he literally had 0 points, was not a factor. Mm. And when he was on the floor, the Nuggets were outscored by 19 points, Phil, in a game that they lost by 7. But when Christian Brown was out on the floor, they lost by 19. And it's the razor-thin margin from a health standpoint is directly related to their lack of depth and their lack of consistency. And, again, this is one game, and the sky's not falling.
Yeah.
But this isn't a perfect team, and the path is going to get tougher year over year in the playoffs.
Well, make this make sense, Zach. And maybe you know this. Maybe some of our listeners know this. I want to know this, all right? We got 9 games left. We have to find this rotation out because it's very important. If you don't have some bench players coming off that bench scoring points, it's going to be hard to win games. Playing good defense every single night, it's going to be hard to win games,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
There's a player that continues to play, and he doesn't do a bad job. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't do a bad job. Mm-hmm. But I'm interested to see why this man is playing at this time when, if I'm correct, he will not be playing in the playoffs. And I think you know who I'm talking about.
You're talking about Colin Gillespie.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so, yeah, man, it's, Phil, super fair question. Super fair. He's not eligible to play in the playoffs right now. They would have to literally, from how I understand it, and the NBA can get complicated with the roster moves, and NBA can get complicated across the board.
It's crazy.
From their play-in tournament to the contracts to how you can get a supermax.
They got good insurance, though, I'll tell you that much.
The new aprons, it's a lot. You're right. Colin Gillespie is ineligible to play in the playoffs.
All right.
They would have to cut someone and give him a new contract, I believe, for him to play in the playoffs. And that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But it goes to show me, not only Michael Malone thinks he's the best option to win a game, he is just trying to win that game last night and believes Gillespie gives him the best chance in doing that in playing backup point guard. And I don't know. It's a weird situation because he's playing over guys like a Jalen Pickett who doesn't play much, who they drafted out of Penn State in the second round. There's guys that are eligible to play that are not playing, eligible to play in the playoffs that are not playing, and it is weird to see. But I'll say this: Gillespie in the first half I thought was good. He had 15 points off the bench, and Gillespie had more than half of them.
Yeah,
but that guy's not going to play for you in the playoffs. So it is a really strange dynamic.
And this is not the first time, Zach.
No.
I want to say the third time that we've seen Colin out there. And it's I like the dude. He brings something to the game. But he's not going to play in the playoffs. So what good is he going to be out there if we're trying to find a rotation? Now, everybody's going to roll their eyes. All right, but you have a kid sitting right here that is still on your roster that you drafted. All right, Julian Strother, that may have to play some games if someone gets hurt. And you're not putting him out there just to see. The last time you put him out there, he gave you 14 points. Now, I know that, he's probably not going to get any minutes in the playoffs.
You're talking about Strother?
Strother.
Okay.
But wouldn't you put someone out there because he's on the roster that he may have to play if somebody gets hurt?
Yeah, and that's why I bring up, it goes to show how bad Michael Malone wants to win that game. Because he's literally playing a guy who he thinks gives him the best shot to win on a Wednesday night, and he's not worried about what's going on in the playoffs. And it's disjointed.
Yeah.
Like, your question is super fair. I don't know who's going to play. I don't know who's going to play in the playoffs. I really do not know. I thought I did.
I thought Zeke Nagy was going to get some time.
I tried to warn you about that one. Even with Peyton Watson plays every single night.
Yeah.
I am buying all the Peyton Watson stock. I think his trajectory over the next 2 to 3 years is going to be just one of the
most fun
subplots of the Denver Nuggets. But I don't know if he's going to play every single night in the playoffs.
Ooh.
I really don't. And we talked about that shot that Michael Malone gave this past week at the podium. There's no guarantees for Peyton Watson to be playing when their season's on the line. So I just don't know if there's enough trust built up there between he and Michael Malone. So we'll see. KJ, what do you see on the RamosLaw.com text line?
All right, from the 720-273. Oh, my goodness, for the last 2 weeks, you've been praising the Nuggets like crazy. Now you're down on them? What the heck, Zach and Phil? Do you think the Nuggets haven't thought about all the things you're saying? They're missing it.
Well, I think it's a good text, because if you do, sure. Well, first of all, appreciate you listening as much as you do.
Yeah.
And both things are true. Like, we have an obligation to react to the game last night.
Sure.
Is it as big of a game tomorrow night? Probably not, but it's a big game.
It's a buildup.
It is, and it's against a rival, and it's against a team that just beat you. Had two losses since the All-Star break. That's one of them. And we're reacting to the renewed dynamic of how we view this team. And at the start, and we actually didn't do it this segment, so if he maybe missed it, I do not believe Phoenix can beat Denver four times.
No.
In a 2 week period.
And we agreed on that.
Yes. But I'm starting to come around of like, oh, could this be a 7-game series? And that's where I'm different today than yesterday morning, because I'm seeing some stuff there. I'm seeing, like, defensively how they treated it. I mean, they came in here and won when, you know, Booker and Beal are combining 8 for 28, and Durant didn't go for 50.
Mm.
And so, you know,
they didn't have people. They didn't have Nurkic.
Nope, they didn't have Yusuf Nurkic.
We didn't have Jamal.
Nope. Yep.
Right. But hey, you're canceling one out. So,
well, and someone will hear that and say, hell no, they're not canceling. Jamal's way more valuable
for sure,
which is true. But there's a reason why you said it. Yusuf Nurkic plays Jokic as good as anyone in the entire league. That was one of my most disappointing parts about last night, is that you have Drew Eubanks trying to guard you, but they're sending a double, and you pointed that out, and you're right, and they were sending it early. Like, they were
showing it.
Yep, but it's Jokic. If Jokic wanted to, like, a double for Jokic turns into a double cheeseburger when he's hungry. And it just felt like too often he was not assertive enough. Yeah. And there was this possession where, and I know you're going to remember it, and our listeners will too if you watch the game. It's like Gillespie, like, dumped it down to Jokic. Jokic kicks it back out to Gillespie. Gillespie's like, no, back to Jokic. Jokic is like, no, shoot the basketball, and kicks it out to Gillespie, where it's like, I would rather just Jokic try to take over.
Yeah,
he was, like, he was not assertive. He was not as assertive I thought that he needed to be.
And we're not down.
No. We're reacting to the game.
But also, Zach, what's that famous line of yours? I would have to tie my brain behind my back if we're not going to be sitting here thinking that this year is going to be a harder year to win a championship. It's not going to be, hey, we're going to sweep everybody. That's a fact.
Yeah, it's not going to be 16-4.
No.
And by the way, two of the four losses last year came to Phoenix. So I'm not, there's no scared.
Yeah.
It's proceeding with caution and an enormous level of respect to an opponent that, pretty good. And then, and they got real firepower. So it's like, you know, I think I did say this segment. No, if they go head to head, I'll be betting the Denver Nuggets.
Oh, you, hands down. You seven sure. games.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Denver wins.
But let's not be arrogant. And I do see some of that of like, nah, nothing matters. Denver's unbeatable. And I just like,
it happened in the game. Even with the broadcasters, they were like, the Phoenix Suns are a bad fourth quarter team. So everybody's waiting for the Phoenix Sun to be this bad fourth quarter team. But newsflash, you still have someone like Kevin Durant that at any given day can go off. He's a Hall of Famer. All right, Devin Booker at any given day can go off. So it's like, yeah, on stats and on paper, they're not a good fourth quarter team. But that doesn't mean tonight is going to be the night where they're a bad team. They may be that team that finally does something in the fourth quarter, and they did.
Well, I told you how I lost money when they played last time, when they went to overtime, when Denver did storm back. And I'm like, oh, my God, they're putting 5 minutes on the clock,
yeah,
and it's a tie game. Huh. and Phoenix is so bad to finish games, and Denver's the best clutch team in the NBA. I'm gonna be honest, I lost $100 that night. I was a little bit feeling too good and too confident.
How many did you have?
It was just a bad intersection of the confidence and the liberal nature of I got them. And it's like, no, they not only did they lose, I told you this yesterday, it's hard to lose a game by double figures when it goes into overtime.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. So just proceeding with caution doesn't mean not confident.
No.
And I think Denver fully healthy. Mm-mm. No one's beaten them four times, but they're on the radar, man. And if they're not, who is? If they're not, who is?
Yeah.
It's going to be a little bit tougher of a task this year. So we'll see, man. We'll see a lot of questions about the bench, about Jamal's status for tomorrow. I'll tell you what, man. He doesn't play tomorrow. I will be concerned.
You're going to be concerned?
Heck yeah. And it's now changed from an ankle to a left knee, the left knee that he got operated on. He already had a week off. Now, he went through warm-ups last night, so I don't think it's anything major. But win tomorrow night, and we'll be feeling pretty good being in the number one seed. But they got to be healthy.
Yeah.
They got to be healthy. There's not a lot of margin for error here in that department. So, okay. Still so much to get to. It's Major League Baseball opening day today. And right out of the gate, I can point to something that drives me nuts. And I want to bounce it off Philip Lindsay coming up next. All right, let's come off the top rope with it.
One.
All right. Major League Baseball opening day is today. And right out of the gate, Phil, I'm triggered.
Oh.
I'm triggered.
I see you over there shaking. Somebody slap him. Hey, someone give my man another steroid.
No, you want to know what, man? It's frustration that comes from a place of just wanting better for the sport of baseball.
Yeah.
So you have every single team in action today, the entire sport. Now, there's two games postponed because of weather. That's going to happen almost every year. But you got the heavy hitters going, man, and they're playing in the daytime. You got the Yankees playing in the daytime. They're playing right now. The Dodgers. You have the Astros, the Braves. I mean, 18 of the 30 teams are playing right now.
Mm.
You know how many games are on national TV right now? None.
None.
Not one. In fact, the entirety of the day, opening day, a day that baseball should own and stake their claim like old dude on the moon. Like, who is that, Lance Armstrong that stuck that American flag in
baseball has been here forever.
It's like, dude, you need to take that flag and plant it on today. And of the whole day, there is one single game on national television, and that's the Cubs at the Texas Rangers. Tonight, that will literally start like 5:30 our time, 7:30 Eastern. It's going to go head-to-head against North Carolina and Alabama March Madness.
Bizarre, man.
It's just like, dude, how can you guys not get this right? It's infuriating.
It really is, and there's no reason for it. MLB's making so much money. They should be having their superstars on the TV as much as they can, especially because of the ratings of last year during the World Series.
Yeah.
8.9 million viewing views. 8.5. See, I even tried to help them out. 8.5 million viewers.
It's gone down every single year since 2016. Every single year.
But do you see why? I mean, it's opening day, Zach. And you wouldn't even known it. I wouldn't have known it.
No. I was talking with our buddy Sean Gates here, does like video editing and pictures and all digital side. And Gator. And he didn't realize today was opening day. This was this afternoon. He works in our building. He's between our age. It's like, how can a guy who, like, it just, no, it hasn't been pushed down our throat. It hasn't been advertised in the way it should be. And in a league that doesn't push its stars, dude, Ohtani's playing today. Aaron Judge is playing today. Acuña's playing. Like, we don't see them.
No.
It's like, I mean, your sport is being lapped. And as they lower you into your casket, 10, 20 years from now, don't act surprised.
No, don't ask, like, what just happened? What just happened is you've seen it. You're not putting your players on a pedestal. You're not putting it there so everybody can see it and say, hey, let's tune in. Let's turn in. You said back in the day, Zach, that you used to have a little radio, all right? Even on opening day, even if you were working, you had that radio on.
People would bring them into middle school. No joke. And that's how, and now granted, the Yankees have a hold on New York in a way that's a little bit different. But, dude, that's how it used to be, and I just don't think it's like that anymore. And that's, I'm 50% sad and 50% pissed because I want better for them. But, like, you can lead a horse to water.
I'm not sad. I'm pissed. I'm pissed because there's nothing being done about it, and they know it, and they can control that, and they decide to do something like this and not show it nationally. That's on them.
Yeah, we watch the NBA do it. Martin Luther King Day, they'll do games all day long.
Oh, yeah.
All day long, and you'll hear about it a week in advance. Not with baseball, though.
One, two.
All right, Rockies' first pitch is the last to go off a little bit later tonight. It'll be Kyle Freeland on the mound, and Bud Black was kind enough to join Schlereth and Evans. I thought that was pretty cool on the very day that they start their season. And Bud Black was asked about if he has a message to Rockies fans and the naysayers.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough at times to really look at the projections, right? But I think the message is you never know what can happen. I think with us, we're going to play hard. We're going to play our butts off. We're going to come and attack the other team both offensively and on the mound. And our guys have a lot of pride. That's the thing that, we've talked about in spring training is, the naysayers are out there, and our guys hear it. They don't say much publicly, but internally, the guys are, not liking what they're hearing.
And how could they? I mean, how could they?
Yeah.
I almost feel bad for Bud. Look.
Zach, Bud has a special place in your heart.
He does.
And he should. He's not a bad dude.
No.
And it's not his fault as a manager.
It's not his fault.
I think that's what he's kind of saying here. It's a cry for help. It's a cry for help saying, look, we're going to go out there. We're going to play hard. I feel like we're in a Little League game. Something I would tell my son, hey, if you win, you get ice cream. But if you lose, what the heck? You still get ice cream.
it does actually feel like you Sportus, where like you just don't have, like your little guys aren't going to be able to compete against these other guys. And it's like, yeah, we're going to get our tails whipped here. But you want to know what, guys?
We got pride.
Yeah, we have pride.
We're strong.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like that. I don't like that because we're all trying to compete and we all want to win. And it's like, Bud set up to fail. Like, that's how I feel about this situation. He set up to fail. He's not a bad manager. He just doesn't have the pieces to be as good as he probably wants to be and as good as we deserve to be as Colorado Rocky fans.
Especially, like Bud's specialty is pitching. He was a pitcher.
Yeah.
And man, this pitching staff, boys. Oh, doctor. CBS Sports is actually predicting that the major league record for pitchers used in a season gets broken this year. I believe the current record is 42. By the 2022 Cubs, and they're forecasting the Rockies use more arms than that this year. So there's going to be some dudes out there middle of the season that are like, who is this man? Like,
Zach Bye, ready to pitch on the mound.
Hey, just let me warm it up. No. Actually, we have James. James can throw 80, 85.
And then we have Drew. Drew that can hit.
Kyle Freeland.
Kind of pitcher. Yeah, Kyle Freeland's out there. He's going to be hitting against our own person.
We have two guys at the fan who can tap in. Just give them the heads up, man. Yeah,
they're ready for it.
A true.
They've told us.
True all-around utility guys.
One, two, three.
And just a shout-out here. We have I want to give a shout out actually to DU Hockey real quick.
Yeah.
Who is beginning a quest for a 10th national title today. They are playing UMass in Springfield, Massachusetts. So the deck is stacked against them. They're playing like basically a road game in the playoffs. And they are in double overtime right now. So best of luck to the Pios. With a win, they would play either Maine or Cornell for a trip to the Frozen Four in St. Paul on Saturday. So best of luck to them. But also in another big boy game tonight on the ice at Ball Arena, could it be a preview of the Stanley Cup? It's the New York Rangers coming into town in what should be a heavyweight fight.
Oh, it's going to be a heavyweight fight. And we said something, and you said something earlier, probably 2 days ago, with the Rangers are just like the Colorado Avalanche. They're down, but they're never out. So I'm interested to see how this game continues to go throughout the time on the ice. But it's going to be one of these high-flying games, man. And I think we're going to be without our boy Val tonight.
Yes,
that's
correct.
A big deal, man.
Yeah, he's got a quote-unquote lower body injury. Hope everything's okay. But yeah, no, you're right. The Rangers are, I mean, dude, the Rangers, first team in the NHL to clinch a playoff spot, first team to reach 100 points. They're 8-2-0 in their last 10. They've won three straight. They're top 10 in the league in goals. They're top 10 in the league in goals allowed. I mean, you look at their special teams, they're a top five power play. They're a top five penalty kill. I mean, they are, this is a real team. And the Avs are coming off a loss against Montreal at home. So what's their bounce back look like? We'll give our predictions a little bit later in the show, but I cannot wait for tonight as I'll be going back and forth between March Madness games and the Avs and Rangers. It is going to be really, really fun.
That's another thing. You have a March Madness game, okay, and isn't the Cubs playing tonight during the March Madness game?
Yeah, they're going head-to-head with North Carolina and Alabama.
Like, that's not smart right there. Like it's March Madness.
Yeah, so put the games on when the March Madness games aren't taking place.
Exactly.
But they don't do that, and then they'll air one national TV game.
I had to vent that. I'm sorry.
No, I love it. I love it. Little house cleaning earlier in this segment. I was talking about claiming the day.
Yeah.
And I said that Lance Armstrong was the first person on the moon.
Oh, no. I thought you said...
He did not bike his way up there, although he was roided up enough that if anyone was going to make his way up there, it was going to be Lance wearing that Fugazi yellow. I mean, what that guy turned out to be. You talk about the shine coming off someone. That guy turned out to be like an evil dude. Truly. You guys aware of this? Like, that guy's evil,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, it's a documentary.
He did. I watched that thing, man. Holy
shit. What about the other one where that guy was like... We'll have to talk about
it. He tried
it
to ruin people's lives. Yeah, he was actively trying to ruin people's lives. I mean, arrogant as the day is long. I just, yeah.
But at least he planted the flag on the moon.
Yeah. So,
he's got that going for him.
At least he biked his way.
Our flag on the moon.
I'm on crazy pills.
In that Hollywood studio back in 1966. Or no, 1969, I think it was. There it is. All right. Sorry, Neil. Okay. Hey, Michael Porter Jr. opened up about his brother's gambling scandal. And we'll hear from MPJ coming up next. Happy Thursday to you. We are approaching the top of hour number three. Thanks for making us a small part of your Thursday. We're getting you closer to the weekend, and we are having fun. Before we dive into this Michael Porter Jr. Audio from last night, relating to his brother, pretty serious matter we've been talking about on and off here. Have to ask you, is your bracket busted? Is your bracket busted? If it is, don't worry. Sport Clips presents the Denver Sports Second Chance Bracket. Head to denversports.com/hoops for your chance to win $1,000. But it's not just that. Also going to get hooked up with a pair of tickets to every concert, and PRCA rodeo event at the Daddy of Them All in Cheyenne. That's denversports.com/hoops. Entry ends before tip-off of the first game later today. I've been talking about this story, Jonte Porter, Michael Porter Jr.'s brother.
Yep.
Really serious allegation based off prop betting irregularities, basically. And there's an investigation going on right now. Did Jonte Porter do this himself? Is it someone tied in with him? There, you know, we're going to find out here in the next week or so, I would imagine. But Michael Porter Jr. Was asked about it last night after the game, and this is what MPJ said.
Not necessarily anything I want to say, no. I mean, I know what you guys know. I know Jonte loves the game of basketball. You know, he's really excited to play. He's been really excited to play with the Raptors. So, yeah, I know just as much as you guys know at this point. You know, I know that I've known my brother my whole life. I know what type of dude he is. And I know he's excited to play basketball, and I highly doubt he would do anything to put that in jeopardy.
Okay, so a couple things. One, he's saying, I know just as much as you guys.
Yeah.
He says, this guy loves basketball. I've known him my whole life. He was so excited about this opportunity with the Raptors. I'd be really surprised. I don't even know what to really say about this situation because it hasn't concluded. It would be the most bizarre type of circumstance like ever if Jonte was totally not involved in this in any way, when you add up the details of kind of what went down and you know, the biggest money makers that night is hit, like Jonte Porter. And it's games where he leaves 3 or 4 minutes in saying he's sick or, oh, I re-aggravated my eye. But I don't want to act like he's guilty before he's gone through the process. It's just a bizarre story and a bizarre spot for Michael Porter Jr.
You know, he's innocent until proven guilty, right? That's how we have to take it. You know, I'm a police officer right now. I had to put that in there.
I see that.
Law and order, you know? No, I think that there's a lot of red flags in this whole entire situation. But for MPJ, also, it's his brother. But you know, you have brothers. You have a brother.
Yep.
You don't know what your brother's doing right now. No. I don't know what my brothers are doing. I don't know what's going on in their lives all the time. We're all getting older, right? MPJ's here in Denver. His brother's over there in Canada.
Right.
And so you don't truly know what he's gotten himself into or what's going on other than what he tells you.
Exactly.
And what you know.
Exactly.
And you hope, you know, as a brother to brother, that you're telling me the truth and you're doing the right things. But I don't know what's truly going on in your life or what's going in your head or, you know, who you have to pay off. Hopefully, if you do have to pay someone off, you tell me, I can help you out.
Yeah, right. Right.
You know?
And that is a question about, like, this entire story is if, like, what if, and I'm totally speculating, okay? But it's like, what if Jonte Porter got himself in some trouble?
Yes.
And like naturally did not want to go about things like this, but it's like, yo, I'm in big trouble. I need to make money quick. And what trouble looks like, I have no idea. I'm just speculating. It's like maybe he was excited about this opportunity, but there was also a shortcut to get himself out of a situation that's got nothing to do with him and the Raptors. It's like, this is a way to do it. So I don't know. You know, there was a screenshot. Did you see that screenshot going viral where it was parlaying his unders, and it was like his under made threes, his under rebounds, his under whatever. And again, I don't know if this is his, but it was going viral in relation to this story. And it was like parlaying those like three things together for like $80,000, and it paid out like $1.2 million. And I know some people are saying, you know, why would he do this? He's a millionaire. No, he makes $400,000.
Yeah.
So if that screenshot turns out to be his, he more than doubled his like annual salary.
Yes.
So we don't know what's true, not. But what we do know is that this is a distraction for Michael Porter Jr. And it's impossible to not be a distraction. And I think the quicker we can get a resolution to this thing for the Nuggets, selfishly thinking about it for a team that's trying to repeat as champions, man, the quicker they can get this behind.
And they're trying to. We haven't heard about this, you know, and I know they're investigating it, and there's no reason to blow something up if it's not true or the facts are not there. But yeah, it is a distraction to MPJ.
How could it
He
not
has
be?
One brother that he's dealing with some stuff. That's a big distraction.
Yeah.
That's a really big distraction, man.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about that. If that was one of my brothers, how I'd feel every time coming in here.
Like, yeah.
It's bad. And then you have another brother that decides to do something that we don't know, but if it's true, it's another big distraction. And now it can affect MPJ's game, which I think it is. It's looking like it at times when you're watching this man out there, even at his press conference, and we couldn't hear it as clearly as we wanted to. It just seems like he's just out of it and sad and doesn't know what to make of it, what's going on.
And you made a great point off the very top of like, you know, just because that's your brother doesn't mean you know what is going on in his day-to-day life. You know, and in fact, this past year, I told my brother something that he was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And totally separate, he told me something that I was like, wait, what? You just don't know.
You don't. And that's why I always tell my brothers and sisters, hey, if there's ever something, okay, that you need done, I may not be able to give you the money, but best believe I will be there for you to help you out or to try to pull you out of what's going on. But you have to tell me, and you got to tell me the truth.
Right.
Because I can't put myself in a bad situation not knowing everything.
Right. Right. So we'll see just how bad of a situation this is here as we continue to sort of gather information on it. I guess good for MPJ for talking about it, you know. By the way, Denver University men's hockey team has just beat UMass in double overtime.
Right.
In the NCAA tournament on the hockey side. They are now... punching their ticket to the Frozen Four in St. Paul on Saturday. They'll play either Maine or Cornell. This is a program that has won 9 national championships in its history. One of the greatest programs of all time. And they have an opportunity to get national title number 10. Wow, that would be pretty wild. Okay, as we shift gears here, do the Broncos, interesting conversation here on deck, do the Denver Broncos have a secret weapon in 2024 that can kickstart their offense in a way that no one is talking about? Hang tight. That's coming up next.